this motion, of course, as the disindictment is quashed on the grounds that, generally, that there has been such pervasive and widespread publicity detrimental to the defendant, that it will be impossible for him to receive a fair trial in this country. Now, Your Honor, we understand and we know that this matter of pretrial prejudice is ordinarily raised by a change of venue proceeding. But I submit, Your Honor, that this is not an ordinary change. There's nothing ordinary about it. The press has made it an extraordinary change. And this is the thrust of our argument and our motion here, Your Honor. And I submit that the pretrial prejudice by the press, radio, and the TV has been so pervasive that there is no jurisdiction in this land. None, Your Honor. The smallest hamlet, the tiniest little village, a wide place in the road that's free from this exception, that has not been permeated by this torrent of words, crush of language, from every communication media possible, and all have access to throughout the width and breadth of this entire land. Now, we're asking here, of course, Your Honor, and we recognize it, for unusual relief here in this case, because at some time, in some court, somewhere, unusual action must be taken to stop this vicious practice of pretrial conviction and crucifixion of criminal defendants. It's crushing, and I think you ought to know that throughout this land, since the inception of this case, it has been made an extraordinary case because of the life of the victim in this case. And by the very nature and the horror of the sentence, now, Your Honor, we face this motion here on the Estes versus Texas case, found at 381 U.S. 532, and Shepherd versus Maxson, 384 U.S. 333. Exposition of the right of the defendant to receive a fair and impartial trial without the crush of words, overemphasizing the importance of this particular case. That is certainly true here, Your Honor. And without widespread public exposure of inadmissible evidence, and this is a thrust of this, it would be impossible to find a jury of 12 people anywhere in this land that had not been exposed to an overwhelming amount of verbiage and words of evidence which would be inadmissible in this court in November when this case is brought to trial, Your Honor. I'm speaking of this matter of this man's prior convictions. Everybody knows that in this land, young and old, rich and poor, high and low, and a great deal of other matters. Reflecting on this man, this defendant's general character, Your Honor. Now, Mr. Justice Clark held in the Estes case, speaking about this advance of pretrial publicity, adverse pretrial, and he says this emphasized the notorious character that the trial would take, and therefore set it apart Shuana well knows was reversed. Shepherd held that, quote, legal trials are not like elections, to be won through the use of the meeting hall, the radio, and the newspaper. And they were quoting there from Bridges versus California. And the Shepherd case cites N. Ray Murchison, 394 U.S. 133. They were quoting Mr. Justice Black. This is what he said. That our system of law has always endeavored to prevent even the probability of unfairness. Close quote. And I submit, Your Honor, that there will be nothing fair about this trial if it's permitted to continue and to convene and to be tried. And Shepherd also, Your Honor, cites Marshall versus U.S., United States, and that's found in 360 U.S. 310. I quote, the court said, hell, we set aside a federal conviction where the jurors were exposed, quote, through news accounts, quote, to information that was not admitted at trial. We held that the prejudice from such material may indeed be greater than when it is part of the prosecution's evidence, for it is then not tempered by protective procedures. Now, Your Honor, the papers, the press, the radio, mass communications media, indeed, Your Honor, have blanketed this nation like a bomb, like a scribe of evidence, incriminating evidence, reflecting on this man's character and prior convictions that would not be admissible at this trial under any circumstances, and where we can act it, where we can temper it with cross-examination and other things, and arguments, Your Honor, and we feel that this is highly prejudicial. And I know, Your Honor, that it would take a great step, a unique step, as I stated previously, in some court, sometime, some great action, some unusual action is going to have to be taken, adopted, to ensure and assure that a criminal defendant in any case is going to walk into that courtroom truly close with a presumption of innocence, and that his juror will be free from this pretrial publicity, which is poison their minds, is poison their community against this man. In short, Your Honor, our contention here is that regardless of any curative action taken by this court, by Your Honor, in your diligent pursuit of a fair trial, this defendant has been denied the fundamental right to due process ensured by the 14th Amendment. Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you. stated, this is not a motion for a change of venue. It's the only proceeding I know of that would be applicable. Certainly, I do not feel it's a ground for quashing the indictment. Carries me a little farther.
Mere rumor, it would be difficult to make up juries of intelligence.
say, Fort Greene, to warn a reversal or to show that a person cannot be fairly tried, it would be necessary to show that the juror or prospective juror, I don't know how we can do that except to examine them also, is prejudiced or has formed a fixed opinion which would require evidence to remove. But to speculate at this time, say at this time, because of the prominence of the deceased, because of the actions of the press and the news media, over which the prosecution has had no control, would say to your honor, set this man free, pass this indictment.